I'm Steve Potter. And coming up later on Cityscape, we're going to introduce you to a young New York-based artist, Rashid Johnson. His work challenges assumptions about the African-American experience and examines the complexity of black identity. His exhibition at the Kemper runs through early January of next year. And since going viral on the internet, Grumpy Cat has just inked an endorsement deal with St. Louis-based Purina Pet Care. Join us for the scoop, pardon the pun, on that story. But first, Chicago the Musical opens tonight at the Fox.
Give 'em the old razzle dazzle, razzle dazzle 'em. Give 'em an act with lots of flash in it, and the reaction will be passionate. Give 'em the old hocus pocus.
And that's the voice of Jerry Orbach as Billy Flynn from the original Broadway production of Chicago. In St. Louis, John O'Hurley is Billy Flynn. He played that role on Broadway as well and on the national tour. You know him as Jay Peterman from Seinfeld, a former host of Family Feud, among other things. You may have caught his King Arthur earlier this summer at the Muni's production of Spamalot. John O'Hurley, welcome to Cityscape.
Thank you. Nice to be back in St. Louis.
Well, you seem to be no stranger here.
Apparently.
Do you live here?
No, apparently. But apparently a good portion of the year I end up living in a hotel room here. I've had a long association with Purina, of course, one of the staple corporations here in St. Louis area, and also with the Arch, the FM station there where I...
Right. You vote... Do the voice.
I am the voice of the Arch, yes.
Right.
Yes,
right. Well, I didn't even know that.
Well, we're not supposed to let that. That's supposed to be our
Well, we won't mention it then.
We won't. Yeah.
Well, what do you know about Grumpy Cat? Anything?
That's the cat side of Purina. I'm on the dog side.
Right. You host, and I have you have for some time, I guess, is host the right term for it, their national dog show.
The national dog show on NBC. Yeah, the national dog show presented by Purina. They're on NBC on Thanksgiving Day. We're multi years now. We started... quite a while back, and it's now become a 25 million plus family tradition now. It's we get quite an audience. Actually, believe it or not, it's the number one show on NBC.
Is that right?
Oh, it beats all the other shows in ratings. But it's quite a tradition, quite a lot of fun.
Okay, so you're a dog person. What do you have, and what are their names?
I have two dogs. I have a Cavalier King Charles named Sadie, and I have a little Havanese, which is kind of like a Maltese, not a very well-known brand, a breed of dog, but a very popular one. I really enjoy it. It's and that her name is Lucy.
Lucy.
Little Lucy. And then I have a new dog book coming up, actually.
A children's book, right?
A children's book. It's the first children's book I've written. It's called The Perfect Dog. And it was based on a video that I did at the dog show last year on NBC, and it got a couple million hits on YouTube, and so they decided to expand it into a children's book.
So is it about your dog that's the perfect dog? Are you helping people find the perfect dog, or what is it?
Yeah, I wrote this as a Dr. Seuss-style poem to my then 5.5-year-old son, now 6.5, and it was a story about what the perfect dog would look like, and it ends up to be the little stuffed dog that he has at home called Puppy, and the tagline being the most important, that the dog that is perfect is the one next to you.
Oh, I can relate. I thought I had the perfect dog, but so maybe I do, I guess, if you look
do.
At it that way.
Indeed.
Well, I have a question for you, and I'm almost serious. What was the biggest boost to your career, playing Billy Flynn on Broadway or appearing on the first season of Dancing with the Stars?
Well, probably Dancing with the Stars, because it became such a phenomenon, and no one saw it coming.
And it was a scandal.
Yes. It would also leave it to me to turn something as elegant as ballroom dancing into the WWF.
No one got hit, I don't think.
No one got hurt. Egos got bruised, but that was it. I would say Dancing with the Stars because it was such a hit. Also because Dancing with the Stars kind of gave me my name back. People always knew me as Peterman people, you know, knew my name after Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, well, you and Charlotte lost to Kelly Monaco, and then you had that grudge match, and then you won with the popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing, you know, Kelly Monaco is a soap opera star, I guess still is, and I didn't realize until I was reading up on you that you've done quite a few soap operas yourself.
Pretty much all of them, yes. Had my early part of my career it kind of was split between Broadway and daytime television. In the 80s, I started off on The Edge of Night in 1983. From there, I went to I went to Loving, which was Loving was on ABC. And actually, my co-cast member, the guy that I was working opposite quite a bit, in fact, we were married to the same woman, was Bryan Cranston.
Not at the same time.
But yet, no, we were actually at the same time. He just didn't know it. You can only do that on daytime television. And it was Bryan Cranston from Breaking Bad. And Bryan and I are still very, very dear friends.
Yeah. Were you typecast in your soap opera roles? He always sort of the same character?
Well, I always kind of an elegant dresser, I think, and you know, kind of. I would say so.
So you're a soap opera dandy, sort of.
A dandy.
Let's talk about Chicago. It opens tonight. The Fox. It's a short.
Speaking
run.
Of dandies,
yeah. Hey, that's one dandy musical. No,
it is. Yeah, it's the longest running American musical in history on Broadway, And deservedly so. It has such an incredible appeal, and I would say it's probably the best music that Kander Nebb ever wrote, certainly the best choreography that Bob Fosse ever did, and together in the same show, and it never fails to bring the audience to their feet.
And I don't know this for a fact. I'm just guessing it's been continually produced since the beginning, right?
It has. It had a run in the 70s for about 900 shows. Jerry Orbach was in that, Cheetah Rivera. And then it died for a while, and it wasn't until 1995 when it was brought back as kind of a revival musical and showcased as a revival musical that Fran and Barry Weissler saw it, picked it up, and put it back up, but in a different format. It was done more as a suggestive kind of minimalist piece with no real set pieces. It's just an orchestra on stage and a lot of girls in lingerie. And me.
So are you saying is that the key to its popularity?
Or the lingerie,
is it actually the music?
It actually is the music. There's no question about it. The music is the star. But what it is it's so much more imaginative now that it's kind of a dark black comedy that really the audience listens to now rather than trying to demonstrate it with a set and whatever.
Well, you say now. And is that true that this version is different than versions before it?
Yeah, it is. As I say, mostly in the setting and the way that it is staged. When you saw it on Broadway in the 70s, there were sets, there were costumes. It was much more carnival-like, more of a Punch and Judy type of feel. Now it's more of a kind of dark it's more of a dark jazz piece and comedic, definitely, but has more of a dark feel to it.
But the music didn't change. The plot didn't change.
I think some of the orchestrations have changed, and certainly the choreography has changed.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Well, let's talk about your role, Billy Flynn. He's not exactly Mr. Nice.
Well, he thinks he is. He's opportunistic. He's slick. He's charming. He's eloquent, and elegant. And he's a bit of an SOB, but there is a quality to Billy Flynn that I try to add in that I don't think other people have understood about him, and that there is a certain paternal quality about him that has to be present for him to be a fully rounded character, I believe.
Can you explain that more?
A paternal character in that when the second you walk on stage, the audience has to know that they're in Billy's hands. They're in good hands. He's going to take care of them for the night. And the same approach has to be the same relationship between Roxy and Billy has to be there as well, that no matter how scared she is, he's going to take care of her. He may not like her, but he's going to take care of her because they have a client. A client is a special relationship. It's a father, in his case, daughter relationship.
I hate to say this, almost sort of like this pimp thing going on.
It's a little bit like that.
I didn't want to say it.
It is a little bit. He's in it for the money, and he's in it for the razzle-dazzle. But it has to have that quality, I think, in order to really work.
Well, when you brought this other element to Billy Flynn's character, was that something that you intended to do from the beginning, or is that something that happened over time? How did you get there?
It happened over a period of time. As I say one prayer before I go on stage every night, and that is, let me surprise myself sometime during the evening. And so I always stay present in the moment there because I'm always waiting for that surprise. And it was early on in the run of my run on Broadway back in 2005 when I remember looking at Roxy one night and feeling this incredible sense of a paternal quality of that I've got to take care of her. I don't like her, but I've got to take care of her. And it was kind of an epiphany for me in that role because it took that kind of monochromatic type of approach to Billy Flynn, where he's not just the slick SOB, that there's a genuine moment in there of humanity.
is the dandy SOB, I guess.
The dandy.
The dandy SOB.
We go back to that word, the dandy.
You know, when you play a role like you have the Billy Flynn role so many times over the years and so often and continue to do that, is it ever a challenge to keep it fresh for you or not?
No, I say that prayer to myself every night before I go on stage. And it always – there's something always hits me. So I would say in the over 1,000 performances that I've done of Billy Flynn that it's a much, much more complex and much richer role than I began back in 2005.
Well, you know, you really do it all as far as like theater, film, music, books now, right? If I were to guess, I would say theater is closest to your heart, but I don't know that for a fact.
Well, actually, the things that's closest to my heart, I compose as well on the piano, and I've written a couple of fairly successful classical alternative albums. Mm-hmm. I enjoy that because I enjoy listening to the music that's in my head come out on over the airwaves, or just listening to it. I enjoy that. I enjoy the books that I write because they're my words. But of all of the things that I do that are I would say in entertainment, I probably enjoy live theater the best, and I enjoy the authenticity of it, the fact that it only happens within that 2.5 hour period as opposed to television, which is you're doing take after take after take, and it's assembled as an editor's medium. So eventually an editor will put it all together and make, you know, 27 or 22 minutes of entertainment out of it for a half an hour or 42 for an hour. And that's basically what their job is. So it's not as satisfying, anywhere near as satisfying. Same with the film. You know, a film is you can manufacture a performance just by giving a line reading while the camera's running. You can't do that on stage. You either have a sense of presence when you walk on stage to pull focus and say, listen to me, because what I'm saying is important, and it's part of a story that we're telling. So you have to be a storyteller.
We're talking with John O'Hurley, who opens Chicago the Musical at the Fox Theater tonight. And there's that thing with the audience, that electricity,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, it is. And many people say it's wonderful to hear the laughter. And I say, yes, laughter is a wonderful thing. But what I find much more compelling is the silence. And you have to earn the silence in it for an audience.
Because that means they're paying attention.
It means they're paying attention and listening to, well, you know, we'll have 4,000 people there tonight at the Fox. Listening to 4,000 people be silent and listen is one of the most compelling things that an individual can do. And you have to know how long you can hold that silence. But you earn the right to do that as an actor if your performance is compelling enough, if you're telling the story appropriately, you deserve to take the pause.
And audiences are different, too. Aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
I'm curious, too. Are the audiences different when you're doing Chicago in Chicago?
Yes. It's much different than doing a broad. When you take it on the road, it's a much different experience than when you do it in a Broadway house, and I'll tell you why. When people come in to watch Broadway, they come in and they'll come in for the weekend and they'll watch 3 or 4 shows. You know, and all of a sudden Chicago is like the – that's the 2:30 show we're seeing on Sunday, and they have a 7 o'clock show that they're seeing in the evening and a show that they saw the night before. So the same – it isn't the same event that it is when you go on the road and people are going to dinner and then they're going to see Chicago and they listen. And it's – there's much more – the – I would say it's a much more authentic experience on the road and a much more – I think the audiences are much more receptive to the show than they are in New York, even though it's been running for 17 years.
Chicago the Musical opens tonight at the Fox. 8 p.m. is curtain. There will also be performances tomorrow, Saturday at 2 p.m. and at 8 p.m. on Sunday at 1 p.m. and at 6:30 p.m. If you'd like ticket information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to the Fox Theater's website, and you can get tickets that way. I want to ask you one final thing, though. Your Twitter profile, on that profile, you are identified as the 7th most interesting man in the world. So I need to know who the other 6 are.
Well, it doesn't really matter, but I do know that as the 7th most interesting man in the world, that I know that at any one time, there's only 6 people that are having a better day than I am.
Where'd you come up with that, and why 7?
I came up with it because basically it's an advertising moniker that I use. I'm actually using it. It's a campaign that I'm actually writing as the 7th most interesting man in the world, and it just sounded better.
All right, you know, you were supposed to talk to us and a bunch of other people. I guess was last week, and you got stuck in an airport somewhere. And I heard
It was Groundhog Day for me.
12 hours?
12 plus, actually. I was at the Portland airport. I got there. I arrived about 5:30 in the morning for my 6:30 flight, and I was still there at 6:30 p.m. in the evening. They had yet to cancel the flight on a broken-down airplane that they just kept repairing and repairing and repairing, and it was the plane that wouldn't be fixed.
Well, I have to know, what does the seventh most interesting guy in the world do for 12 hours in Portland?
Well, at one point, I got a massage. Literally. And that I didn't ask somebody to just, you know.
I mean, somebody just walking
just,
by.
Yeah,
or...
you, come here, rub me. they had a little spot at the airport. So I said, okay, I probably have an hour and a half here. I think I'll probably just hop in and get some body work done. And then I read for a while. Talked to a lot of people I haven't talked to in years.
So you made it a positive.
It was a long day.
John O'Hurley stars in Chicago the Musical, plays the part of Billy Flynn, opens tonight at the Fox Theater. Go to our website if you'd like more information. John O'Hurley, a pleasure to meet you. Welcome back to St. Louis.
Thank you. Good to be here.
And coming up next on Cityscape, artist Rashid Johnson on his exhibition, Message to Our Folks. This is St. Louis Public Radio.